This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
For today's Daylight magazine, we have Your Bible and You, Youth Corner, and Moments of Truth. I'm your presenter, Emanuela Brefumenta, welcoming you to today's magazine. Stay tuned.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is now time for your Bible and you.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 15.
Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man,
"Where are you?"
He answered,
"I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid."
And he said,
"Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?"
The man said,
"The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it."
Then the Lord God said to the woman,
"What is this you have done?"
The woman said,
"The serpent deceived me, and I ate."
So the Lord God said to the serpent,
"Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals."
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5.
And you
keep
will
this
eat
in your heart.
Dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.
Just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. Keep this in your heart.
AWR, Voice of Hope, we will bring you joy, keep hope alive.
Brace yourself for our next segment. Youth Corner.
You must live beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll leave you all. So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll leave you all.
Thank you for joining us, dear listener. My name is Afrenia Makeke, and this is Youth Corner. Thank you once again for joining us. And I'm here with Lord Lugard Webu, Atubonfo Jr., and Samuel Sabre Frempon. Let's move on. We are continuing with our discussion on teenage pregnancy, and we are basing our statistic here on the World Health Organization report that states that about 16 million women between the ages of 15 to 19 years give birth each year. Earlier on, we have focused on the factors that lead to teenage pregnancy. Also, we have looked at the effects on society. Now, we want to focus on the effects on the individual. Then we go to the church and look at how we can prevent it and so on and so forth. So I'll come to you now, Lord. What are some of the effects of teenage pregnancy on the individual? In this case, it happens to be the lady.
Okay.
Right? But if it's also a young man who has gotten, a teenager who has gotten a lady pregnant, it will have an effect on him as well. Exactly. So let's look at it from both sides, the effect on the individual.
Okay. The first and foremost is that you have to realize the fact that every individual has some hopes, some high hopes for him or herself in life. Even though men or ladies or girls, let's say, are most unlikely to talk about this. I mean, guys, you know, because of that active kind of nature that they have, they possess, they talk about them. But deep down in their hearts, they have something which they desire to achieve in life. So when you become pregnant along the way, you never anticipated the fact that you will get pregnant along the way. So once you get pregnant, it's a kind of barrier. So you have your hopes dashed, your dreams shattered. Until you reorganize yourself by the grace of God, you wouldn't be able to go that far. So for me, I would want to look at it in this line that hopes are dashed and then dreams are shattered.
Hopes are dashed
and dreams are shattered.
Let me come to you as well, Samuel. Beyond the fact of hopes being dashed and dreams shattered, what are some other effects that teenage pregnancy has on the teenage father, if it is the case, and the teenage lady mostly?
Most of the time, the fathers have a bit of an advantage. Parents even go to the extent of telling them that they should deny the fact that they impregnated those people. And before I realize, they will do that and they will go scot-free. But the disadvantage part of it is on the females.
They bear the brunt the most.
The highest. For the young lady, as you were saying, the hope is shattered. I'm looking at a situation where you have a hope of doing something. You are in school and you get pregnant. When he was explaining the first time, he said that because of the pregnancy, you become a laughing stock in the school. You will definitely leave. Even if the parents force you to continue your education, there is no way you can stay in the school. So you will drop out. You become a school dropout and all will be lost in that instance until you gather momentum to continue. Moreover, in the society where you don't have a good parent to take care of you, some parents will accept the child back, try to talk to the child until childbirth, and the child will continue the education. But where there is no backing, there is no mother or father to take care of you, you take care of your child on your own. And sometimes you go through a lot of problems because you don't have anything to feed yourself and a child. You have to go begging. Because of that, you also go through extra problems. Say you go to a society where people are around, you have to serve before you be given something to take care of your child. A teenage mother doing extra service. You realize that you will never have peace in your whole life until you have a savior by the grace of God, that somebody might take care of you, take you, adapt you, and take good care of you. You go through suffering till you grow. And if you are not lucky to get a savior in the future, too, you and your child will go through series of problems and trauma. So if you are not careful, you die at all.
Ato, do you share the view of Samuel on the point that in most of these cases, if the father is also a teenager, they are mostly very lucky? They don't bear much of the consequence compared to the girls.
Of course, you know, I agree with him, because the guys are usually also dependent on their parent. And obviously, girl cannot leave the house. It's on rare cases that the family of the teenage girl will drive her away to go and live with the teenage boy who got her pregnant, family for them to take care of her. It's rare, even though it happens. But these guys usually will just bear the stigma for the first 1 month when the thing is discovered. And afterwards, they live together, they play football. And for guys, they don't carry the baby, so they are free. Relatively, very free. But with the ladies, please, a whole lot goes on. I've classified them under the psychological effects, the biological effects, and the sociological effects. Now, the psychological, the guilt that comes. you made a statement that good girls actually get teenage pregnancy and the bad girls do not get. We call them bad girls because they have actually been exposed to this thing by maybe a bigger sister, a more experienced parent, and they have been able to teach them all the pros and cons of this sexual activity, and they know their way around them. People like that can do all sorts of things without getting pregnant. They have been exposed. But those good girls who have not been exposed yet, usually the first timers. And imagine those who go to church and all that, people think that, yeah, they are examples. Just one day, and the balloon just goes off, pop. You understand? So the guilt, that's the psychological one. Your features will just change all of a sudden. Instead of you getting your menses all the time, now your biological makeup will have to change. That breastfeeding and even concentrating in school. You'll be in school and you'll be thinking about your baby. It's something that God has put into mothers. It's very difficult to continue education while being a nursing mother. Good. Now the sociological, this stigma that comes with it. Usually the guys also go through this stigma, but as I've said earlier, it's relatively small and it's only at the early stages. Even guys have a way of just getting the shock absorbers for these things. They just make fun of it. Some even use it as status. Yeah, right now I'm a dad, you know. But for the girl, you can't mingle with your colleagues because you can't carry your baby to the beach when you are going with your friends. Unless you have an extremely understanding mother who actually can take your baby like her last born so that you can continue with your life. Even that one, when it's time for breastfeeding, you feel the pain in your breast and other things. So it goes a long way. But the ultimate effect to the individual is you may die.
Let's quickly look at the effects on the church. Maybe we can do that in 1 minute. Then we'll continue in our
Well, the church is ridiculed. The church of God is ridiculed. Mocked. Its good name is dragged in the mud. Just like that. And it is tagged. Okay, just like a family will be tagged for teenage pregnancy. A personality will be tagged for teenage pregnancy. Churches are tagged like that as well. So, that tag on the church, that ridiculing, that mockery that goes with it. God's church, God himself says, I mean, he can't be mocked. Okay? And so if his church gets mocked out of the thing that the members do, you can imagine.
The church becomes a source of mockery for the society.
Yeah.
We'll just end the discussion here and have the concluding part of the entire interview in our subsequent discussion or edition of Youth Corner. Thank you so much, dear listener. My name is Afrenia Makeke. I've been here with Lord Lugard Webu, Ato Bonfo Jr. and Samuel Asabre Frempong. Thank you once more for joining us.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please write to Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 2087 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we are expecting your calls, emails and letters.
AWR, Voice of Hope. We will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
Do not be afraid, for I am with you.
I am with you.
Do not be afraid, declares the Lord. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and will rescue you forevermore. Moses led his band to the promised land. Everyone was scared that there'd be a fight. So they sent some men to see if they would win, if they were to challenge the Canaanites. 10 of the men were afraid of that land, thinking they would be better off dead. Caleb and Joshua had different thoughts. This is what they said. They said, do not be afraid, for I am with you.
I am with you.
Do not be afraid, declares the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and will rescue you forevermore. Jeremiah brought himself before the Lord. God had told him that he was set apart. He would be God's hand, a prophet to the land. He should do all that the Lord commands. So Jeremiah said, I'm only a boy, and I don't even know the right words. The Lord reached down and touched.
The only way to multiply happiness is to draw closer to God through His Word. It is now time for Moment of Truth.
On the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Beloved in the Lord, we welcome you back to Moment of Truth, a time when God speaks to our heart the truth, which is Christ Jesus. Shall we bow as we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, let your voice be heard. Let your words be clear. Let your Holy Spirit reach many hearts to the glory of God. May you speak through me in Jesus' name. Beloved, we continue our series on modern miracles and Christianity in the series part 3. We ended up in part 2 that when Jesus performs any miracle, He never publicizes it to the public, but He tells those who are healed, tell no one. Just go to your home. Tell only people of your home setting the great power of God, what He has done in your life. So Christ never used miracle as a means of attraction to lead multitude unto Himself. But in today's modern miracles in our religious circles, we see miracles here being advertised. What the great power of God has done or can do. On radios, on television, on the internet, in posters, we make tapes of testimonies of miracles of people who have been healed with the notion to attract other people, either unto ourselves. But Christ says, tell no one, do not broadcast it. But today we are selling ourselves, not Jesus Christ. We sell ourselves. We only say, come and meet me. And we appear as if we hold all solutions in our hands, all solutions in our own hands to solve all human problems. These are the things that we see when Christ confined it as a secret issue or something to be told in the circle of the home. We now make it a public issue even to the whole wide world because of modern technology. But Christ says, tell it to no one. And in today's deliverance ministry, beloved, we see supposedly men of God talking with demons through possessed persons. And the Bible says we are not even to interact with demon talk with demonic spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 to 12. The Bible says there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or who practices witchcraft or soothsaying, or one who interprets omen and sorcery. Now, in verse 11 says, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, A medium simply means here talking through another person with a spirit or a spiritist or one who calls on the dead. That is necromancy. So the Bible actually talks against that kind of practice because the devil is a spirit. He's a demonic spirit and he deceives with a kind of intensity. So Christ said, never even speak with him. When you go to Jude chapter 9, when Christ came to resurrect Moses from the grave, Satan came to oppose by crying out, challenge, said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. There should be no such communication. Christ never did. And what we see today in your circles. And today, what do we see? We see character defect by casting out demons, by classifying them. Demons of anger, of gossip, of fornication, of theft. But Christ says, go, cast out demons. When you have the power of God and you cast out a demon, it goes. There is no need to classify them. There is no sighting happening in the Bible. Christ classified the demons. In other words, people are no longer taught the word. We don't teach again. We don't call to repentance. Therefore, we cast out the demons all right of anger, of gossip, of fornication, of theft. And because the heart is not changed, these people are also repossessed again because we are not following the principles being laid down by the word of God. We also see in our circle today what we call sharing of anointed or anointing waters, holy waters, that can perform all miracles by anyone who uses it, irrespective of one's character, irrespective of one's relationship with God. It does not care who I am, whether I believe in God or not. When I use this kind of waters, whatever be my difficulty, will be healed. Beloved, do we see Christ performing such things, beloved? And we cheapen the power of God and the grace of God. And even people who know not God supposedly are using waters that is supposed to have come from God or from a man of God. We will see also in our worship today, free use of anointing oil. While the Bible actually reserved that function to pastors and elders who have been ordained, set apart by God to perform signs in the house of God, James 5, 13 to 15 talks about that. And any member using anointing oil is causing a pure religious sacrilege. The Bible says it's a role reserved for pastors and elders. And now we multiply it, cheapening the grace of God. People can do whatever they want to do, irrespective of whether they know of the Lord or not. And this deception have crept into our church today. And these are quick fix measures, which are short-lived methods. And it does not actually last because it is not of God. And we need to be careful where we are going. You know, Christ in his divine love says we should be careful that we are not deceived. A book called Testimonies to Ministers, page 424 says, the world will not be converted by the gift of tongues or by the working of miracles, but by preaching of Christ crucified. Christ is the focal point, the transforming power of the lives of those who want to be saved. So what do we do in this situation in which we find ourselves in our modern setting, in our religious circles? One, we need to study the word of God, that is the Bible. We need to know God's word. We need to stand firm on the word of God, know the truth and stand firm for it. We need to test every spirit with the word of God, whether the spirit is of God or not. Remember, not all those who use or do not use or sell what they can do. Many of us today, beloved, are selling ourselves what we can do, but not what God can do. Those who belong to God and are God's servant are humble instrument who give glory to God for what he has done, not what we are able to do or have done. Christ says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. If Christ is lifted up and the heart is changed, people are drawn to him. And that is the greatest miracle for the sinner who is lost, who is doomed to death, to be transformed, to become a child of God. He says we need to lift up Jesus and his word. And when this happens, there is salvation, there is perfect healing, and healing becomes perfect because it is done in the power of the Holy Spirit when Jesus heals He heals perfectly. We are living in a dangerous time, and we need to be careful what we are believing and what we are doing. Be careful where you are going. It is the house of God. As the only way, you may not be deceived. May God bless you. May He strengthen you as we look into this series of modern miracles in our religious circles. May God strengthen all of you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your servant, Pastor Gene Y. Aguado. God richly bless you.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please contact us on Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 30 70 51 058 or +233 20 87 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we're expecting your calls, emails, and letters. My dear listener, I believe you have been blessed by our programs. Keep pondering over lessons learned from our magazines to stay blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day. I have been your presenter, Emmanuela Brifumensa. Bye for now.